Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and in this continuing, this special series of bodybuilding and fitness podcast, I am bringing to you the most passionate and the most interesting people in bodybuilding and fitness. These are also people, you know, one thing about having my own podcast, and I get to select the people who I interview. I get to pick the people who impress me. There's something about these bodybuilding and fitness personalities that impresses me that I want some more of it for myself, right? So if you've been following me for a while, maybe you admired what I've done, and I'm grabbing this person so I can talk to them and you can hear me talk to them, there is something for you to learn, all right? So during this interview, I am talking to Nick Wright. Nick Wright is a YouTube sensation. He describes himself as a competitive bodybuilder, and that's after a competitive bodybuilding career of 7 years. He's a proud, sponsored Isatori athlete. He actually has his own NWB, Nick Wright Bodybuilding clothing line, quite the entrepreneur. I've been watching his videos, and this guy has quite the sharp business mind. And what makes this so impressive to me, there's a lot of things that impress me, is the hustle. This guy is doing what he loves to do. He's living the life. He's helping others. He's growing up right before our very eyes because he's only 23 years old. And he's been in front of the camera as a fitness, sharing his thoughts on fitness, becoming more and more of an authority and more of an expert for the last 6 years. So that means that he started it stepping up as a leader at like 17 years old. Actually, he's had his channel for 14 years, talking, interacting, stepping up for even a lot longer than that. Quite impressive. I think that as I work with men all over the world with coaching, that boldness, being able to speak your truth, and dealing with everything that comes with it, the pros and the cons, is quite an impressive quality to have. So the business hustle, the personality, his speaking style, that's one thing. I went to some of his older videos, and, you know, just by putting yourself out there, he's got an eloquent speaking style, no ums and ahs, you know, and that's grown up over time. Quite an accomplishment. I'm very excited, actually, as we go through this interview, as we talk about his past, we talk about his present plans, but where is he going to take this? He's so young. So welcome to the show, Nick Wright. How are you,
thanks,
sir?
Thanks, Skip. Man, you got me smiling with that intro.
Well, you know what? I look for things that are impressive in a person. And I know you, striving so much at such a young age, you probably don't spend a lot of time looking back, only looking forward. But you got to admit, everything I said was 100% accurate, right?
Yeah, I guess it is. From you too. I've been a fan of you for a while, by the way. Just want to throw that out.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Let me kind of talk, Nick, you know, my journey being exposed to you is, I don't know how many years ago, but I'm going to guess maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you know, being older school, this new medium of YouTube and social media. I mean, I want to think that I dabbled around in it right away. I want to think that I'm current. But the whole YouTube fitness personality, that type of thing kind of snuck up on me. Actually, it was a fan, a student of mine that you were the first YouTube fitness personality that he sent me to. And he said, you should really look at this. This guy gets a lot of views on his videos. And so I checked it out. And I guess my old school thing, and I'll admit to that, I'm thinking, well, what is this about information? You know, as I've evolved and I understand, it's about the energy. It's about the personality. It's about you being interesting. It's about you being passionate. That's what's drawing so much interest, in my opinion. And you tell me what you think. And the sets and reps are just an added bonus. I mean, it's like reality TV, the way you do that, times 10 in your own tribe, your own area of fitness. How do you see all that?
Honestly, I think you nailed it. because the information is always appreciated, and that's always great to get the info. But I know personally, YouTubers that I watch them for their personality, to see what they're up to next, and to see how they are, how they act, and how they even interact on camera. It always lures me in if they're good, if they have the personality and the charisma. So I think you nailed it 100%.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you noticed this. You know, our whole bodybuilding and fitness culture, there's so many subcultures within it. And, you know, I noticed some of the old school type of thinking. And, you know, they talked about people like you, people like the Hodge twins, even like Dana Lynn Bailey, right? The really Matt Ogus, the really successful YouTubers out there. And it's kind of old school, like, this isn't right. Why do they have these gigantic lines of people after them? This is our Arnold Classic of hardcore bodybuilders. Why aren't they with these established personalities? You know, to me, I mean, you can be old school, but if you can't predict the trends and notice them and accept them, you know, your massive popularity and the YouTubers like you, it's taking advantage of a medium. You're just leaving those other personalities in the dust, and who cares about how big their muscles are or what contest they are? You made yourself known to the masses, right? Did you know that groundswell of kind of resentment of the YouTube personalities? Did you know that was swelling?
Yeah, okay. I definitely knew that was swelling. It's pretty evident in my opinion. And honestly, you know, it makes sense because I've been a fan of old school bodybuilding forever. You know, I got into YouTube documenting my journey into actual competing. I didn't just start YouTube for the sake of making a channel of me lifting.
Right.
So I was actually a fan of old school bodybuilders, and I myself have even noticed it. You know, I trained recently with my idol, Ronnie Coleman, at this past Arnold Classic, and that was amazing. But one thing I noticed is that, you know, the Hodge twins had a bigger line going than he did at this Arnold Classic. And
yeah, and back in his day, he had massive lines, you know?
Yes, exactly. So like that was evident to me. But honestly, it's just what you said. These bodybuilders are amazing. And the fact that they don't get the same buzz isn't taking anything away from how great they are. It's just simply, you know, if you want to adapt, you know, if you want to appeal to the masses and get that line going, you need to adapt and appeal to the masses. You can't stay there expecting, you know, what you did on stage a few years ago to keep carrying you.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Ronnie Coleman because pre-YouTube, because you would admit, though, too, is that there's a lot of YouTube channels out there, and they're all giving out information. I mean, there is one quality besides you being bold and you having the courage to get in front of a video camera and posting them on a consistent basis. I mean, you got to be interesting, right? And the competition to be interesting is getting tougher and tougher the more that people jump into it. So just because you stepped in there, that's not everything to do with your success. The people find you interesting and they want to follow you. The contrast or the analogy that I'm using with Ronnie Coleman is it was more than him having a massive physique pre-YouTube. It was when his videos got released and he was interesting and yeah, buddy, and having whole person. That's what made him so massive. So it's kind of interesting is why that's what made him popular. You know, it's that same type of thing that now there's even a more efficient source of medium, you know, social media to do that. So what I'm saying is maybe you agree with this. I mean, all of those well-established personalities, they should be following your lead and the Hodge twins' lead instead of wishing for it to be some way that it isn't. That's what I'm saying.
And I'd honestly have to agree, and that may sound a little egotistical, but it's actually the opposite. I know that like I'm not a genetic freak, and I know that my physique is not great, and I've still managed to, you know, achieve this, have an amazing following. I love my following. Uh-huh. So imagine what these big guys with crazy physiques and great genetics could do. Like the whole theme is if little old me can do it, you know, you guys could apply that same thing. You know, the big old school guys, they could apply some of that and really kill it. I've said that a million times over. Anytime I meet a big bodybuilder, you know, be it IFBB pro or an NPC national competitor, and they have a great personality, I'm constantly encouraging them to get on the video, you know, get on YouTube, get on social media in some way, shape, or form. And I try telling them, you know, they could go super far with that.
I'll help you give you my opinion to break down. I'm curious. I kind of did that at the beginning of the introduction, but again, just putting up videos of that bodybuilder that give that advice to, that's not going to work. you have this special sauce, so to speak, right? And I'm wondering how you would break that down. Why do you have such a following? Why are they so interested in your journey, in your opinion?
Well, personality definitely is key, like you said. Uh-huh. Chris Jones, another big YouTuber, said it best. It's all about personality and charisma. So, you know, I may think about my personality, somebody else may think something totally different, I would like to at least think that I have a personality that stands out, whether it rubs you the wrong way or you love it. I think it at least stands out. I'm not sitting there in a monotone voice giving you bland advice.
Right.
I'm very much myself, and anybody who ever meets me off camera, like meets me at Expo, says that. Uh-huh. So the me you see in person is the me you're getting on camera. You know, and you mix that with the fact that I actually went out and did things, like I actually competed. Uh-huh. I didn't just lift and talk about it. I think that's probably the biggest part of it. I was a doer competitively, and just, you know, I'm completely myself on camera.
Yeah. This is what I see. I think that one is that you were okay with being imperfect when you started. After you look at the older videos, now you're very polished. I mean, I gotta say, for someone who was, you know, Toastmasters president and took a lot of speaking courses, and I've spoken in front of large audiences, you've got a great presentation of your speaking style. And I guess the big takeaway is, man, you just did it. And just through repetition, how can you not become better at it? Because, you know, I just watched your latest video about your life, and, you know, you're going to the massage, and very polished, great presentation of your videos, by the way, too.
Thank you.
You're very skilled now. And you weren't afraid to not be so skilled at the beginning. You know, I coach men not about sets and reps and diet and things like that, to live their passion, to go for it, to create their businesses. And, you know, some people, they know that YouTube is the way to go, but they have such a standard, they have to be so perfect to begin with, they never actually get it going. So I think that's what's admirable, that a lot of people should take from your journey. Other thing is, you're raw, like you said, you're raw and you're transparent. That takes a lot of courage to be that way. I'm sure that you exposing yourself in that manner, obviously it's led you to this position, but there's probably been a downside that you were comfortable enough to deal with, and I may want to talk about that. But two things, you're really passionate about what you do. You can't just, well, I'm just going to start a YouTube channel. If you don't have that 100% congruency and total passion the way that you do, even everything you pick, you talk about, even if it's not so bodybuilding, about the blog of your life, you're just crazy passionate about it. So you can't fake all that. I think that makes it, draws that charisma. I see a lot of people with YouTube videos, and they're just trying to pump them out, and they're kind of going off a checklist of what they should talk about, where you pick what you're passionate about, and that creates the content of the video. I don't know if how much you notice those things. But the other thing is you've kind of created a movement of people who are just like you, your tribe, as I call them, and you're leading a tribe. They're looking up to you from leading the way. It's like a whole movement of your personal journey, you know, through bodybuilding, through natural bodybuilding, your perception now into powerlifting, but also into life and hustle. What kind of feedback do you get about guys your age and saying, wow, this is what I took from you? And, you know, I know that throughout my journey, I would have so many people who I inspired in ways that I didn't know. Hell, in some ways, I said, really? I should listen to myself, because I need to concentrate on that area of my life, right? But tell me about some of the emails or the interaction with your long lines at these conventions where someone said, you touched my life in this way that really even surprised you.
Man, some of the ways I've been told that I've helped people, as far as surprising me goes, I've had a few people both email me and tell me right in person that I've helped get them out of suicidal type situations.
Wow.
I've had people message me telling me that they were addicted to certain drugs, addicted to certain substances, and their life was kind of going down the drain. And they said that my hunger for life, you know, something I kind of wasn't even aware of that I was presenting, but my hunger just for life in general and the passion that you kind of spoke about, that inspired them and motivated them to kind of seize the day. And I had actually gotten emails from these people telling me that they'd gone clean, they'd turned it around, you know, they're embarking on this or that journey, something positive now. So I've gotten some pretty crazy emails like that. I've been told that at expos, which is always like, that's mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
I've gotten messages from soldiers overseas, you know, over in Afghanistan, active duty, who send me these long emails telling me about how they motivate them, and all this inspirational stuff that I never in a million years would have imagined that right. I'd be able to do for anybody.
You were just being you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you said, it's that passion. I've always focused on what I'm passionate about first and foremost, and then the YouTube comes second. Like, I just document what I'm passionate about. So when you do that, you kind of get into this tunnel vision where you're not doing it for any, you know, means to an end. You're just doing it.
Right, right. Well, you've been doing this, I mean, 6 solid years as a stepping up as a fitness authority, sharing your point of view there. It really is about 14 years when you got bold enough to start talking to people, interacting on that world stage of YouTube. But and you're so young. Again, you're 23 years old. There's so much, and I definitely want to get into that. But I'm curious, at this stage, if you had to say what you're most proud of, what might that be? What are you most proud of this journey so far?
I think overall, the thing I'm most proud of is at 23 years old, being on the path that I want to be on. Uh-huh. I can't say I'm where I want to be, because obviously, you know, the whole proud sure. but never satisfied mind sure. state is definitely alive. But I can definitely say, I think at this age, because I know how scary and how dreadful it feels to be lost, to not know where you're going or where you want to go, not sure what you want to do. Uh-huh. And I'll still run into that in little ways. I think we all do as humans. But to look at the big picture and to actually be able to say, wow, this is what I dreamed about doing back at 17, 18 years old. This is what I always wanted to do. I'm finally here. I'm on the path that I wanted to be on. That's probably the biggest thing, because I know how hard that is to actually achieve.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, it's, like I said, that's that inspiration that someone, no matter what they're doing, if fitness isn't their thing or powerlifting, they can draw that in their own life. And
I do want to say really quick, just to add to that, for anybody out there going through any sort of a struggle that might be listening, I don't know how much people know about my past. Depends how long I've been watching. But I am the type that's worked for everything I had. So I had my first job working full-time illegally, because you're not supposed to work full-time at this young. But I was working full-time at 13, 14 years old, washing dishes, saving up for my first car, which is a little beater Honda Civic. So, you know, I was holding 3 jobs down my senior year. So I've done the whole work grind. I've been really broke in the past. Graduated high school, did not go to college because I didn't want to. I knew what I was aiming for, but I was stuck doing 9-to-5 jobs. And, you know, I've been in that position where it was really scary and I didn't know where I was actually going. But I remember envisioning where I'm at now and thinking, that's where I want to be. One day I'm going to get there. So just to put it in the kind of contrast for you, that's what I mean when I look
back.
Well,
I'm going to go way back. I'm going to know what it was like as a kid and maybe put together your influence. And I think that, you know, you started at around 14, 15, 16 or whatever. But, you know, a lot of times who we become is shaped even before that, our parental influence or the lack of parental influence. So we're going to take a quick break, Nick. And when we come back, we're going to try to break down what made Nick, Nick. And maybe it will resonate, or a lot of people can identify with maybe some of the great things that were established growing up, or maybe some of the challenges. So there's hope for them, too. So awesome. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.
We are back with YouTube sensation, Nick Wright. At YouTube.com, Nick Wright, N-I-C-K-W-R-I-G-H-T. YouTube.com/Nick Wright, 175,000 subscribers, over 34 million views, 781 videos. He's been doing it since 2006, last 6 years, stepping up as a fitness authority, Nick Wright. So Nick, you kind of gave us a little bit about how you got to where you are, and it wasn't necessarily the easiest path. It isn't like, you know, you were just given everything, you went on tube, and you just went from to immediate success, the level that you are right now.
Right.
So tell me, what was it like growing up? Where'd you grow up? Tell me what your parents were like.
Well, growing up, I grew up originally in Warwick, Rhode Island. It's the second biggest city in Rhode Island behind Providence.
Uh-huh.
Grew up with my mom and my father. Loved them both. And we had like a very basic middle class upbringing. Eventually, I moved to a town called Exeter, which is really rural. And that's where I remained until I moved out of the house.
So a solid family life. Parents stay together forever?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm very blessed about that. I realize how blessed that is to be in that sort of a position.
Uh-huh.
I hung around a lot of friends who were the complete polar opposite. So
yeah,
it allowed me to see at a young age how blessed I was to be in that position.
A motivational speaker and you really being a leader to these young guys, I would say a large percentage of the guys you come in contact that talk to you, that interact, they didn't come from that. I mean, or do you connect with people who are just like you? I'm curious. That really solid upbringing.
I think I connect with everybody really well. I've always gotten along best with let's just say I always hung out with very wild crowds of people. So most of my friends, like I was hanging out with, were in that broken home type of a situation.
Uh-huh, right.
And I'm comfortable in those situations.
Yeah. No. I just, as a leader, the people who need you most may not come from that same solid background. Do you know what I mean?
I see a combination. I see a very even combination.
Uh-huh,
I think. I mean, I've gotten messages from people coming from some crazy situations, broken home-wise. I've gotten messages from people who have very comfortable upbringings.
Right.
I don't think the background's too relevant on who I inspire. I think it's just the mind state more than anything.
Well, it may not. I think that you appeal to people just like you, but I'm sure you appeal to people who haven't had your upbringing. I'm just curious what you see, because again, you're out there, you're speaking your truth, but it's translated by your fan. It's whatever he's going through, and I just wondered. Right. You know, how that worked out. You know, I would say that, you know, who the men who I help, and again, it's not bodybuilding and training, mm-hmm. You know, the guys who have had this stable upbringing, they seem to start off on a higher level of confidence, right? Their challenges are at a higher level, where the guys who have had the broken homes, we work on getting some of that stuff all sorted out first. And, you know, like I said, you're at the beginning of your journey. You're a young guy. You're having all these people. I was just wondering how much you picked out all of that, because I tend to think that they pull different things from you. And I was just wondering, you know, how much of that you've noticed.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll be honest. I haven't looked too much into that. I haven't paid too close attention to that.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
Well, you know, like I said, you're 23 years old. You've got this massive following. You've got all these leadership skills. You know, just think of, man, there's a part of me that wants to hurry up and get to where you're going with all this, but I have to wait about that, right? So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you moved out, and then tell me what were the next steps?
Well, I moved out at 21. I just turned 21. That's what it was. Basically,
we got to see that all on YouTube, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So basically, like I said, I've been working, you know, full-time job since I was 13 years old. I'm very grateful for my parents. I had an amazing parents, but the one thing they taught me is, you know, whatever you want in life, you have to work for it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I did that, you know, saved up for my first car and all that good stuff. Anyway, I was working 60 hours a week at this.
The first car with YouTube.com/Nick Wright on it, right?
Oh, no, man. That one's That was a lot newer. My first car.
Oh, okay.
First car way back was a little Honda Civic.
All right.
And I had a couple of cheap, you know, 90s era BMWs that broke down on me.
Uh-huh.
And then finally I got the Magnum that I have now. I got that at like 19. Uh-huh. So that one's uh-huh. getting older now too. But that one has the YouTube decal on the back window.
Have you always been a hustling businessman? You're like a young P. Diddy. You're out there hustling, and at the same time, you're doing your passion. Did that come like later, like you did your passion, and it seemed to work out, or do you remember being a hustler like when you were 13, 14 years old?
Oh, I was always a hustler. Uh-huh. I was selling Jolly Rancher lollipops in like seventh grade.
Where'd you get that from?
I just go to Walmart. You can buy them in bulk.
But that quality, where did you pick that up from? Who inspired you to be like that?
Man, I don't know. I've always been really good at sales. Like, my dad's always been very hardworking, but he was more of the hands-on work type.
Uh-huh.
He says himself he doesn't care for, like, the sales type, or he doesn't care for the entrepreneurial lifestyle. So, to be honest, I don't know if it was something innate. I've always just been very independent in my own head all the time. Never needed, like, a whole lot of friends around me. And because of that, I was always focused on, you know, what I wanted to do in life. And I'd always just do it. I never really put limits on myself.
Right.
It just seemed natural to me.
You know, you talk about something, your dad's resistant to be a salesperson, or resistance to the sales process. I think if anybody knows, you know the importance of presentation, right? That's the difference between a Ronnie Coleman, like you said, with all his accomplishments, having this type of following versus someone who does a different presentation, let's call it different than you, with a massive following, right? So
right.
A way a person presents themselves is massively important, and you must appreciate that. But, you know, as you work with guys, don't you think that that's a quality that is not understood and sometimes pushed away, and they think that they're just going to do a great job and the world's going to come to them? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yes. Yep.
And
yep, I see that all the time.
And what's your advice? What can you do to work through that challenge, that block that they have that may be holding them back?
Well, for a lot of people, actually, most people expect like the surface level advice, like, oh, just got to be more characteristic, bring more charisma to the table, and they expect that sort of surface level advice. But honestly, what I say for most people, especially like in the area of trying to create a YouTube channel or a following of some sort, is simply focus on what you're passionate about first and foremost. Like, get obsessive about your passion.
Uh-huh.
And then just go ahead and execute the steps you need to follow your passion. That's it. Don't focus on setting up this YouTube account or setting this or that up. Right now, just focus on following your passion and pursuing your passion. Because once you do that, your whole mind state changes. When you're focusing on a passion, you're more positive, you're more optimistic. And once you start taking those steps to follow it, without even realizing it, you start setting up all these other steps to branch off from it.
So you think if you really are in your genius zone, you're really passionate, you'll automatically become this salesperson, and then you don't have to really think about it as a task.
To an extent.
Okay.
Not everybody. I think some people just aren't. Some people are salesmen. Some people aren't salesmen. So it may not come out in the form of sales, but you may present your passion in some other way, shape, or form. But if we're talking about fitness, you know, say we're in this general industry, then yeah, I think for the most part, if you focus on that passion, it'll come out in some way. Even if you're not super talkative, you'll be able to at least present it in some sort of way that is motivating to people through some avenue.
Well, I just get this sense of you either picked it up innately, but I see a lot of sales technique and influence. And you know, I could tell being around that, you know, as far as like your sponsorships, they didn't, at the beginning, I would think that they come to you, just like me coming to you. You built that type of presence. But at the beginning, there was a lot of hustle, you selling yourself to these companies. You went out and got them. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, talk about that whole process, because that's what I'm talking about. You couldn't wait around.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you have to present yourself in a manner. A lot of people wait around and they believe, and they attach words like humility, which I personally believe that humble word gets thrown around in our niche of fitness. And I don't think they really understand it. And I think it holds them back. There's a difference between being cocky. The opposite of cocky is not humble. Do you know what I mean? There's that you got to go to these companies and be confident. Provide a value, and you know, playing yourself down isn't going to work, right?
For sure.
And they're not going to find you. So, you know, talk about that. You were hustling with these smaller companies. Tell me, how did you go about doing that for someone who's just maybe they're 18 years old and starting out? I know that the landscape is maybe different than 6 years ago, but how did you approach these companies at the beginning when you weren't such a star?
Well, I always try to do it in person if I could, because the emails usually get ignored.
Right.
But yeah, it's exactly what you said. I got a lot of confidence in me. I mean, I didn't have a doubt in my mind about me. When I would approach a company, you know, RTN was my first sponsors. Rich Tuma is the CEO, whom I'm still great friends with despite not being with the company anymore. I was texting him just today, actually. I approached him at a show I competed at, and it was my fourth win in the team division at the time. And I approached him basically with the mindset that, listen, I'm going to bring this favor that is me to your table. You want this. You want to sign up. Like, you want to take me on board. And obviously, I wouldn't come off arrogant about it. I was very respectful, and I was very, you know, determined. But I didn't have a doubt in my mind. When I went up to these companies, I would approach them confidently, and I said, listen, you know, I compete. I've done this well in these shows. I have this channel with this many million views, etc. And I'd be like, I'd love to be able to work with you guys, promote your company, you know, and possibly arrange something with you. And we talked, like, you know, set it up like that. Sell yourself. You really have to sell yourself.
Well, one thing I noticed with you is that you know how to highlight your strengths. A lot of people have a challenge with that. Is like, again, I think it's this belief about what humility means to them in their mind. So. And you see this like in our bodybuilding and fitness world, in the competitions that they enter and they don't enter. They can win a great competition, a great sounding name, but there's always a higher competition. You know what I'm talking about? There's always somebody better out there. There's always a bigger title. And they kind of play down, well, I won this contest or whatever, right? And it could be a great show, but in their mind, they're thinking that there are better people and better shows. You know, I noticed the way that you present yourself, you have this pride, you dress everything up to its fullest. And I'm not saying you overblow it, but I think that a lot of times people play down their accomplishments when they explain it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that's something that you are conscious of, right?
Yeah.
And talk about that. You know, you scan all your accomplishments, you dress it up in a certain way. I mean, I don't know how much you think about this stuff, right? But tell me about that whole process.
Well, as far as thinking about it, I'll tell you, I don't sit there and map this stuff out. I don't sit there and think about it beforehand. But, you know, it just comes.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something, Nick, with your success here in a few years, you probably should go back and list all your success strategies. So like a recipe to a lasagna or something like that, you can actually give it to your fans and your followers so they won't have to try to pick it out. You've laid it out for
them.
That's
not a bad idea. I mean, like you said, you're a genius with this stuff. And even just speaking to you right now, I'm kind of identifying a lot more that I didn't even realize about myself. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you being the hustler, you can turn this into a great win-win for yourself, your business aspirations, and most importantly, for your fans by doing that. So maybe that's your next project, right?
Yeah, that could definitely be a project down the line for sure. I want to make sure I have a good handle on understanding everything I did.
Well, you know what? Can I give you a little coaching here, a little business coaching? All right. Well, part of the reason why you're so proficient at what you do right now is because you're okay with being imperfect. You're in the process. But see, the thing is, when you got on your first video, especially after your 100 videos, you were way better than anybody out there in YouTube land. You see what I'm saying? You didn't wait until you had 800 videos or you have 781. You didn't wait till 500. It was good enough now. You knew you had a message. You were ahead of your tribe, and you had a message then, even after 10 videos. Your success strategies towards life, towards business. I mean, a lot of these young guys, they need your hustle, what your psychology of hustle, how you put it together. Even though I can tell you're going to be a massive success by the time you're 30, you have a message that you need to break down that can really help out these guys right now, right?
Yeah.
So. Maybe not something you want to push off. These guys might, your fans might want it right now.
I mean, that's a good idea. Like I said, I'm learning a lot from you just speaking to you right now. So,
well, what I'm doing, I'm a mirror in front of you, and now you're saying, yeah, I do see that, right? Okay.
For sure.
And I'll tell you, as I coach men around the world, that's half the battle. It's like knowing you're winning the game when you're winning. There's a lot of people who are winning, or they're certainly not as losing as they think. And they're walking around with that attitude. I mean, when you can step into your full power, and I see that confidence in the way you talk, the way you carry yourself in the video, even presenting all the videos and what you choose to talk about. You know, we're all not, like you mentioned this before, I mean, the drive in us, we're never going to be full tilt. But, you know, you're pretty darn high up there of stepping into your full power, right? And that's what, That's what the name of this game is, and you got to know when you're winning, when you're winning. So just an idea that I think it can help out a lot of people, probably a lot more than you realize. And now I'm putting you on the spot here, because now all your fans are going to be wanting the success strategies by Nick Wright in and out of the gym, right? They want to have that audio course or that ebook at least, or whatever, or series, yeah. That special channel of video on your YouTube channel. Yeah,
that's
so
a
anyway.
Great idea.
So, but, you know, I want to talk about, so like right now, you Isatori is a company. They knew the power of YouTube. They were ahead of the trend. They went out and got you, I'm sure. That, because I know how aggressive they are of identifying the YouTube yeah. stars in fitness, right? They came and plucked you. You didn't go to them, right?
Yeah, no, that time they came and they approached me.
Tell me about that relationship and your capacity right now.
Well, originally they approached me through Van, who was a YouTuber. He doesn't YouTube anymore, but he's a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
He approached me, asked if I wanted to go out to Florida with them. So I was like, yeah, I'll go out. He said I didn't have to, you know, agree to be with them or anything like that. Just go out, hang out in the booth. I could sell my own clothing. So I was like, yeah, I'll try it out. So I went out with them, tried their products for a couple of months. Finally, they wanted to sign me. So I even took a while negotiating that and deciding that, because I didn't want to get on board with something I couldn't stand behind.
Sure.
Finally, I agreed to sign with them. And it was the best decision I've made thus far, because it's allowed me to meet everybody who watches me on YouTube. I've been able to hit all these events and meet everybody finally, which is obviously the most important thing to me, being interactive within my YouTube channel. YouTube comes first. So it allowed me to grow the YouTube, essentially.
Uh-huh.
So currently, I'm still very happily signed with them, still using all the products and still traveling with them vigorously, hoping that I can continue to do so as the years go on, because they're a great team.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome. Any other, your clothing line you mentioned, what other business avenues do you have going on right now that you want to talk about?
Well, I just locked down a deal with Alpha Clothing,
uh-huh.
which is a really, really badass clothing line. A lot of my friends, my coach in powerlifting, Simon, he's with them. A few of my friends wear their stuff. They're pretty popular. They just have a cool design and obviously a cool theme. So they approached me, and I've been a fan of their clothing for a while. So we got together, we linked up, and we're going to have something pretty big coming on this year. As far as my clothing line goes, I actually discontinued the NWB clothing line because I want to come out with something that's more creative
sure.
and more me. And it doesn't have my name in it necessarily.
Yeah, well, one thing about as business evolves and any person on their business journey is that nothing is forever. It ebbs and flows when there's an opportunity to take it to the next level. You know, and you're figuring that puzzle out yourself right now. You know, I want to take another quick break, Nick. And when we come back, you know, because you're a power lifter and because you're a bodybuilder, and I would assume the first contact that people have with you is about all that. So we want to talk about that in addition to these success strategies. So we're going to talk about your competitive bodybuilding career and also your competitive powerlifting career, what you have planned in that. And we'll do that, and we'll come right back.
Awesome.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Do you feel that you just can't get yourself motivated and disciplined enough to actually do the important things you know you must to reach those goals in life that you always say you want? Have you ever worked long and hard toward your ambitious goals, only to ask yourself, is this all there is once you've achieved them? If you can relate to these challenges, feelings, and emotions, then Skip LaCour's book, It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder, will give you the insight and perspective to finally understand the obstacles that stand in your way and prevent you from living the life you really want. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder is Skip LaCour's very personal and revealing story about his journey to find the oftentimes elusive feeling of happiness in life that we're all looking for. In this book, the 6-time national champion, drug-free bodybuilder, entrepreneur, and speaker shares with you the most powerful lessons that he's learned about life to make your experience the very best it can be. It's his sincere effort to make good on the promise he made to himself during his darkest days to make sure that the personal pain that he suffered doing everything he believed was right, and most importantly, exactly what he did to overcome that pain, empowers you with more direction, perspective, insight, love, and passion sooner rather than later. In the social media age, where it seems as though everyone is trying to present their lives to be a lot better than they really are, Skip LaCour makes sure he doesn't play that game, so he provides you with the clarity and direction you've been searching for. Everything that happens in your life can and will serve you in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of time until you realize it. It's a matter of trust. Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour will help you realize this about your own life. This book could very well be the source of the inspiration and information that you need to finally take control over your life and find your personal path to happiness. To learn more about It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour, go to www.itsamatteroftrust.com.
So we are back with competitive powerlifter and former competitive bodybuilder, Nick Wright. YouTube sensation. You can go to youtube.com/Nick Wright. 175,000 subscribers, over 34 million views, 780 videos. You can also visit his Facebook page, and that is at facebook.com/Nick Wright Bodybuilding. And there's over 740,000 fans there, and you can interact there. What's the best way to interact with you, Nick, with your fans? I know it seems like it's definitely one-sided with, you know, you have a presentation, you have an agenda out to your fans, but how do you make it interactive? What's the best way?
I do respond to comments on YouTube. I don't respond to all of them, but I do respond to comments on YouTube. If you actually click newest comments instead of the top comments, you'll generally see my replies, unless it's a week in which I'm running around and I just can't really get to it. Uh-huh. But other than that, my Twitter, I'm very active on Twitter because I don't have a huge following on Twitter, so it's easier for me to keep track of my mentions, and I reply to people on Twitter all the time.
And that's at twitter.com. That's at twitter.com, Nick Wright, NWB. So twitter.com/Nick Wright, NWB for Nick Wright Bodybuilding. You got over 14,000 tweets there, right? So that's a good place to contact them. Okay, good, 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 good. I mean, would you say that it's fairly easy to actually connect with you? Is that something that you?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if Twitter's always best because it's a smaller following. I'll see your comments. You know, Facebook, the fan page on Facebook, I keep up on it, but that one's hard because there's a lot of people on that page, so that one gets overflooded. YouTube, it's hard to keep up with the comments because I have so many comments coming on every single video, not just the newest video I uploaded.
Right.
But
right.
Twitter's always definitely good, and then obviously, you know, anytime you ever see me in person, always stop to talk to me. I'll chat with anybody for half an hour or more.
Now, do you have an email address that you give out, or is there one reserved for business inquiries? I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, the business email is the only one I have, specifically because – you know, I love interacting and helping people out. At the same time, I'm not a coach, so I don't do online coaching.
Okay.
I have the business email. So if anybody has business or promo endeavors, anything like that, obviously you can reach me there.
Yeah. Do you mind if I give that out, or do you?
Yeah, that's fine. That's right on the main page of my channel.
Yeah. No. Everybody seems to when I try to contact, it seems like for whatever reason they hide their business email. I don't know. Have you noticed that too?
Probably because they get spammed. Like I know okay. A lot of people will email me with like random questions on diet and training, and you know, I try to blow people off. I do try to respond to those, but you know, at the same time, I'm not a coach, and right. It's a business email, so.
So, do you want me to give it out or not?
Yeah, you can give it out.
Yeah, that's nickwright7@gmail.com. Nick Wright and the number 7 at gmail.com. Respect them there, guys. You know.
Just a little correction. It's NCK. So when you're reading it, it's Nick, but there's no I in it.
Oh, okay.
That's a little tricky.
NCK Wright 7, the number 7, at gmail.com. All right.
That's it.
Okay. So we talked about, you know, your powerlifting career. That's where you are now. But let's start with bodybuilding. It seems as though, you know, you kind of had a rise in bodybuilding, and it was fun and passionate, and some of the steam came off, and then you went into a different direction. Tell me about your journey with bodybuilding, and specifically natural bodybuilding.
Right. Bodybuilding, I fell in love with it at 14 years old, and I decided to want to do a competition ASAP. I was just hungry to do a show. So by 15, I had done my first show, and I dabbled in every single organization out there pretty much, minus maybe a couple, and worked my way up the ladder. I ended up doing very, very well in the team division. I was undefeated, I think, four times in a row it was, and then I placed multiple runner-ups in the men's lightweight division. So I did very well at the time. And then eventually, you know, I was coming from being a very, very skinny kid. So I had this huge hunger to transform my body. You know, eventually once I kind of caught my stride, granted, I know I still don't have the best physique, but I became more comfortable with myself. You know, I knew I had size. I knew I had good arms. I knew I wasn't the small kid in the room anymore. That hunger to compete, that kind of obsession faded a little bit. And I continued to want to work on my body, but I wasn't super hungry to get on stage anymore. And I kind of missed the athleticism a minute.
Right.
And that's when I ended up stumbling upon powerlifting and falling in love with that sport.
Yeah. Well, before we get into this, one thing that I've noticed in being in bodybuilding, natural bodybuilding for a long time, is that, you know, you put all your heart and soul in it for that, you know, those years since you were 14. And only being 23 now, you know, that the whole natural bodybuilding thing, it just takes so long to develop, right?
Yes.
I mean, and sometimes I think natural bodybuilders don't really understand that. And what they do is they give their heart and soul and they stack up these years, but they just can't see that 10 more years of that. They'd probably blow themselves away. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I also see that a lot of young guys, a lot of ambitious guys taking advantage of YouTube and sharing their passion, looking amazing. They can't conceptualize, you know, how they're going to look 10 years from now because they're only, you know, I don't know, 20 years old. That's like a half of their life, 10 years in the future. And what I'm noticing with some of these YouTube stars is they're getting better and better and better and better. But their whole career, they talk about what is and what isn't possible, right? And there are, I would think that they're watching themselves grow beyond their own beliefs when they start the YouTube channel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially when they stepped up as a leader and it becomes their life, their passion. They've got to talk the talk and walk the talk. So they're more dedicated, more focused. But they spent those years talking about how impossible it was to look like this guy or that guy, right? And it's just curious is that, you know, at 23 years old, I mean, it would be amazing the way you see yourself and what your potential was, however you described it. You know, if you had five more years or seven more years at the age of 30, I wonder if you would think the same way now. And again, that's a personal thing of mine because, and I'm not saying this specifically about you, is I see the YouTube generation is some of these awesome natural bodybuilders who are young guys. They're the same people who are putting caps on what is actually possible and who you should believe and shouldn't believe. And I'm just saying to myself, you know, this guy, he looks amazing. You know, in 5 years, he's going to be one of those guys. He's going to look like some of those guys that he's talking about now. Do you know that whole phenomenon? I know that you're disconnected from the bodybuilding now. You're on to another phase of your life. But since, you know, you're a YouTube guy, and that seems to be the talk, fake natties and everything like that. So before we move on to powerlifting, tell me your thoughts on all of that.
Well, what are you asking specifically? Because I mean, I like what you said as far as, you know, putting the cap on too soon. I agree with you there.
Well, the thing is that there seems to be a lot of rising stars. And at the same time, they're getting chopped down. And personally, I have no challenge from my experience and what I see. These guys are natural. First of all, I have no idea what they may or may not be doing, but they don't seem so unbelievably natural to me. But their peers, they're calling themselves fake natties, and there's a whole lack of belief in these guys, which what can and can't be accomplished, right?
Yeah.
So that whole underbelly that's swelling up in the YouTube community, and are those physiques attainable naturally? There's a lot of controversy.
Yeah. No, that one actually, I agree with you more. There's obviously, you know, without dropping names, obviously a couple that I really think are not because it's really, really obvious. But I think a lot of the YouTubers that get called out for using stuff, you know, like Matt Ogus is called out a lot. I think he's natural. Like, I'm good friends with him and I talk to him a lot. I know him pretty in-depthly personally. I would 100% bet that he's still natural.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that.
And I think that you're right. I think people, like, especially with the internet now and people being so open about steroids, and especially since you have a lot of, like, pretty average physiques admitting to taking steroids. Yeah, you know, that's it doesn't matter. You don't take steroids and I automatically become a monster.
Right,
you can
take right.
Wrong. You can train wrong, eat wrong, and still take them and look average. And I think because of all that, you know, people are getting this whole concept that if you're bigger than just an average gym body, then you have to be running something.
And also because, you know, you're presenting out to the masses. These kids are like 18, 19 years old. So their first exposure to this whole fitness world. And maybe they don't see guys of your quality at their own gym. They don't understand how, you know, degree of leanness, how muscles are developed, the insertions if they're smaller. Yeah. How that can just, especially on an HD camera, how that can just give this illusion of massive size.
That's the other thing. A lot of these guys who look, you know, like fake natties, if you meet them in person, they have great physique still, but they're much more obtainable looking size wise. Right. You know, the photos right. always make everybody look more jacked.
Yeah.
And what you said too, also about, you know, looking at their gym buddies as reference. I mean, you know firsthand that the amount of intricacy and hard work and time that goes into actually building up a physique, getting the striations going, that takes a lot of time and extreme obsessive dedication.
And you know what? I'll tell you something. When you're making videos, you become even more obsessed. You have to walk your talk. I mean, these YouTubers are they're putting themselves in a very unique position that really puts them in a position of dedication and peak performance that you don't see. The guy at the gym isn't under those conditions.
Exactly. So they see the guy at the gym just, you know, doing the basics. They're eating and they're training, but not to any sort of extreme.
Right.
And they think that that's the cap.
You know, if you've got a YouTube channel, you know, and you love it and you're doing it on a consistent basis, in some way it's like, you know, Brad Pitt who's getting ready for the movie Troy. You're going to watch what you eat more. You're going to train a little bit harder, right? Because you got to step up. And most people don't put themselves under those conditions, which is a really huge factor when you see these YouTube guys that are so unbelievably natural. They're under extreme mental conditions. And, you know, throughout this podcast, we talked about the psychology of success that Nick is sharing with you, the things that he realizes in himself. And maybe sometimes he's going, he's realizing for the first time in this interview. I mean, it's a big, huge portion of a person's success or mediocrity. So
for sure.
I think YouTubers put themselves in the best conditions. And, you know, the analogy I would use to life, the comparison is that, man, you force yourself to step up before you're ready, before you think you're ready, you will do everything physically, mentally, and emotionally, psychologically possible to live up to that goal that you set. This is what these YouTube guys are doing all the time. I talked about Nick's presentation skills and his confidence level and his voice qualities. I mean, very mature, very poised. That's because he just stepped up. He probably watched the game tape of him doing the videos. Ah, this sucks. And had to go through that pain and, oh, I can't believe I did that. But that pressure made him this polished product. We all need to do more of that and not less of that, not wait until we're ready. Anyway.
For sure. I agree 100%. I jumped on stage as soon as I wanted to, not as soon as I felt like I was ready going by any guidelines.
Yeah.
Same with the YouTube videos.
I mean, let's go back to bodybuilding. A lot of guys, they wait until they're big enough or they know more, and that's not the way to do it. You have to know where you want to go, and then you reverse engineer the steps to get there. You don't wait until you're ready. It doesn't work that way. Do you see what I'm saying?
And I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's your, what was the best experience? What was your most memorable experience being a bodybuilder? I know you got a lot of covers, a lot of exposure. Let's even talk about that, afterwards. Well, first of all, tell me what's your whole natural bodybuilding career, what's the biggest takeaway when you look back on it? It's like your biggest accomplishment that you'll remember when you're an old guy at 60 years
old. Man, I have to say one of them, personally for me anyway, is probably getting my first magazine cover.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was cool for a number of reasons. One, it made me – I think technically I was the first drug-tested teen on a cover. There had only been a couple of teens on a cover before that, and I was the only one competing in a drug-tested federation, I believe. So that was like a very small piece of bodybuilding history that I could just take away personally.
Right.
And then just the fact that, you know, I'd gotten on a cover – even now, as we're going into the age where magazines are becoming extinct and everything's online,
right?
And even though it was like a small magazine, it's still a magazine cover, and that alone is just like a huge milestone that for me was really, really cool. Being able to walk into Barnes and Nobles or Brooks or whatever store it was at the time,
right,
and grabbing them off the shelf and paying for them, that was one of the coolest experiences, hands down, at only 19 years old.
No, that's a cool thing, and it goes back to another quality that I talked about you, and I see it. It's sprinkled throughout your presentation on your videos. Is that, do you know, Nick, that again, it's highlighting your strengths boldly and confidently and being with 100% integrity. How you framed that, you know, it's all factual. The first drug tested teen bodybuilder. We all can kind of like be the best if you kind of frame it that way. And like I said, most people would say, well, it's just a small magazine, and they'll focus on it being a small magazine, which you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
But they don't highlight all the first that it became. I mean, a teen bodybuilder, drug-tested bodybuilder. People go through life, oh, well, it was just a small magazine. And they don't highlight things like you do. I think that's a big takeaway. People need to spin their own story, right, in a way.
I think so, too. I think it helps not only for marketing themselves, but I think it also helps mentally just keeping you hungry and on track.
Right.
Because if you view nothing as a big deal, you're not as hungry for it. But if you view every little thing as some sort of a milestone in your own mind, you know, it makes you hungry for the next milestone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can share a personal story. That's why I admire this quality in you. I mean, I can think of like myself is that, so, you know, 1 year I won the Muscle Mania, right? And that the national show, and I was the second Muscle Mania winner. But hey, that's nothing compared to the Team Universe, right? So then I almost poo-pooed like that was nothing, right?
Yeah.
And then I won Team Universe titles. And then even when I was done competing, I would say I'm a 5-time Team Universe champion, right? And that was impressive to me, but I was playing it small. And I was thinking, wait a second. Well, 2 of those were overall. Okay, 3 of them, well, 5 of them class wins, but I'm the best heavyweight. That's 5 national championships.
Right.
And then I said, well, why am I discounting the Muscle Mania? That was a national champion. I know it's not the same organization, blah, blah, blah. I said, wait a second. I'm a 6-time national champion, right? And then it went into, like, you know what? People don't care about, well, because then I had that thing, well, you know, Team Universe is a lot tougher than Muscle Mania, so should I really count that? And now it's just short term. Hey, I don't, you know, you can leave the bodybuilding part out. I'm a 6-time national champion. You can even leave the body, and that's what people hear. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm an example of, I had to go through a process of paying. I work so hard for my accomplishment. There's a lot of guys out there who are working so hard for their accomplishments, but they don't have that way of spinning it to empower their situation and all that hard work like you do. That's why I admire that quality so much in you. And you did that from a very young age without any coaching. It was just your innate ability. That should be that's a chapter of your YouTube videos, that special folder or whatever they call it, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember even in very discreet, almost like subtle, unnoticeable ways, you know, I incorporate that even in the smallest ways. I remember when I first started creating YouTube videos, I never once came on saying, hey, my name is Nick Wright. It was always, hey, it's Nick Wright. You know, even my presentation would be, hey, you should already know about me. If you don't, you should get on board. It's Nick Wright, you know, instead of coming on sheepishly, hey, my name is Nick Wright. So yeah, it is just highlighting the good points of you. And then for everybody listening, who maybe can't grasp this yet, you know, if you listen to even your story, Skip, you highlighted in a positive way, 6-time national champ. At the same time, you also acknowledged, you know, that you viewed one show as not being the biggest of deals. So you obviously have a very realistic view of yourself. You know your weaknesses and you know your strengths. So it's not a matter of being arrogant or big-headed. You can list your weaknesses and your strengths. It's just you focus on your strengths and your positives.
Right.
It's time to focus on them.
And there's one thing that you said about you, which is, I think, common with me and everybody who's ambitious about there, is that, you know, what you've done in the past is awesome and you appreciate it, but there's always that next level. And sometimes when you're always looking at that next level, you don't appreciate what you accomplish, where other people are just saying, oh my God, that's amazing. So sometimes you playing it down, you're not serving your tribe, your fans well, or yourself well either, because you're always looking for that higher and better level. So Yeah. So you're not doing anybody any favor sometimes. So
yeah, definitely a happy medium required
there. Right. And the thing is just as long as you can say it with 100% integrity, that's all that matters. You know, again, sure. Sometimes a lot of people are winning the game and they just don't spin it in their head that way. You seem like a really confident guy. Did you ever battle confidence issues? I mean, tell me how you evolved as a man, a young man, in that regards, because some people would say, I can't be like Nick. Look at him. He's just an old pro at 23. He's way out of that. I mean, what was your journey like?
Well, I was a mix. You know, I was definitely very confident in some areas, and I got along with everybody. You know, at the same time, you know, I had a lot of insecurities, too. I'm very introverted. You know, fortunately, I've had good luck with girls, and I have a very beautiful girlfriend now, but I can tell you, like, there have been plenty of times, especially back in high school, where I would just shy around them. Right. And, like, I'd miss a lot of marks, and I'd miss a lot of opportunities because, like, I was just too shy. I was too scared to approach them or you know, break the ice, whatever.
You just
went
for the low-hanging fruit, the ones that came to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I had plenty of insecurities like that. There's a lot of times where I felt not very good with myself for a million different reasons. I wasn't the best at sports. I wasn't the funniest guy or whatever. And, you know, I get kind of spiteful about that, and I try to take my accomplishments out, you know, in a negative way, projecting them like I'm better. You know, that was way back in the past, obviously. Okay. Uh-huh. Since then, obviously, I've gained – I'd say I'm pretty confident all around now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just very happy with myself. I don't – my weaknesses are weaknesses, whatever. I'm very accepting of everything. But I will say one area I was always confident in was my passion. So when it came to, like, bodybuilding, when I was passionate about that, I got made fun of horrendously throughout my entire school because I was a little 104-pound kid.
Uh-huh,
and I didn't care. I didn't stop or back down once. I just kept going for it, like, full-heartedly and did not shed one ounce of fear in that, and that ended up pushing me to the level I'm at now.
When men come to me for confidence issues, they want more of that. One thing I say is you want to build confidence. What you have to do is whatever it means to you, you got to – step outside of your comfort zone, and you got to do something that impresses the hell out of you, whether you're scared or not. When you continually do things that impress the hell out of you, you're going to be more confident, right? And it sounds like your entire journey, every video, ever you put yourself out there being transparent, it was just one more thing that you have this whole, you know, young lifetime of stepping up. That's what built the confidence, right? It isn't something that you can just wish you had. You got to do something that impressed you, right?
Yep.
When you look back, I mean, we talked about that cover. That was a reward that you got from your work. But, you know, what impresses you the most? Is it that you went for your dreams? You never stopped. You came back from a disappointment. What's one of those things when you look back, it impresses you the most and was a real confidence builder?
I think just the fact that I went out and did the shows because it's not something I thought about at the time because at the time, you know, I was just tunnel vision. I wanted to do it and I did it. I didn't think much of it. But now looking back at it, you know, it's definitely nerve-wracking to step out of your comfort zone. And I had to kind of re-experience this when I switched over to powerlifting and did my first meet after only 9 months of training. And that was kind of like, that's a little soon. But I was like, screw it. You know what? I want to do it. I want to make my mark in powerlifting, get the experience in. I want to do it. So I went and did it. And that kind of made me look back at the bodybuilding competitions, especially with all the new channels out now that, you know, are talking the talk, but they won't walk the walk. They won't compete. And I kind of looked back and I was like, wow, you know, like I give myself a little bit of credit there for actually going out and doing the shows, just doing it.
And not just doing them. I mean, you put it out there. Hey, I'm doing this show. You know, you can't go back. You took them on the whole journey. You have to report the results. I mean, but again, that pressure that you put on yourself, people avoid pressure. But pressure, wouldn't you agree, has made you so strong?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, you can't wait for it. Sometimes you got to do it before you're ready. And then you step into your power. You step into those big shoes. All right. Hey, Nick, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, I'm really excited to get towards with this awesome foundation of success and confidence and this fan base and all the opportunities presented you and living a lifestyle, doing what you love to do for a living. You're not tied down to some job. What's next? All right. So we're going to get into that and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Are you interested in one-on-one coaching with Skip LaCour, but you aren't quite sure it's a good fit for you? That's totally understandable, unless you've had one-on-one coaching in the past or have talked to someone in-depth who's had a great experience with coaching. It can be a real challenge to appreciate its full power and recognize the positive impact it will have on your life. You can get all of your questions about coaching answered by talking to Skip LaCour directly on the phone. Schedule a free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour directly about your current situation, the goals you want to achieve, and the challenges you believe are standing in your way. Skip works exclusively with men who are the most committed to their success. He'll gladly take the time to explain all of the benefits of his one-on-one coaching programs and determine if the two of you would be a good match moving forward into such a close, consistent, and intense working relationship. Schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching right now by going to www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk. Once again, that website address to schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching is www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk.
We are back with competitive powerlifter and YouTube sensation Nick Wright. www.youtube.com/Nick Wright is his YouTube channel. 175,000 subscribers, over 34 million views, and over 780 videos, too. So, Nick, all right, so you have this hustler mentality, this sales mentality. You've got all these followers. You have all these opportunities coming to you from other businesses wanting to align themselves to your image. What is next for you?
Well, Skip, I mean, there's some general things that I have in my head right now. Obviously, most of my followers that pay close attention know I'm rebranding right now. So I shut down my NWB clothing line because I want to bring something with more creativity to the table, something that's me. Everything I've always done well has been pure inspiration that I just dove into. So that's what I want for this next brand. Uh-huh. I don't want it to have my name in it. So I want it to be something that anybody can relate to, regardless if you're like an actual fan of me or not. So that's one of the next bigger steps, get a good brand going. And it might not.
You know, that's an interesting thing that you said right there. And I think that's a very good marketing brand. A lot of guys you see now in the supplement industry, they put their brand, their signature brand. And although that can be a short-term thing, but it also could be limiting too. And
yeah,
it's interesting
very limiting.
How you're putting a generic name. So you can have your fans and your tribe buy your clothing, but anybody who just likes the style, who isn't attached to you, they can still connect. Yeah.
And I've heard people even, you know, fans of mine even comment and tell me like, you know, I love your videos and I would love to support you. I just don't personally want to wear someone's initials on me, which I understand completely. Uh-huh. So I want it to be something, you know, plus the designs I was coming out with, they were basic. It wasn't anything I was super excited about. So I want my.
Yeah, you're just jumping in again, being perfect with being imperfect, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. Exactly. So now I have another idea of which way I want to go, and I think it's going to be bigger than clothing, but that's another route. Obviously, right now, the main goal is to continue building the channel. I want to get the following really, really, really engaged. I'm putting 100% effort into my videos, uh-huh. and I want to continue rising in the sport of powerlifting, competing, and really putting a lot of focus into that. And I'll be honest with you, you know, the general direction I aim to be at one day is eventually rising to the point of perhaps television, whether it's right. a reality show or what. But, you know, I want to get to that point where everybody knows the name Nick Wright on a pretty mainstream level. But I got to be honest with you, Skip, I'm pretty unorthodox when it comes to strategizing business. I've never been one to write down a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. I've uh-huh. always been one to just follow what I want to do at that moment, and I do it. And I assume it'll work out, and then I take all the steps to make sure it does.
Well, so, when you present it that way, it's worked out to you to this level. It sounds as though you're at least considering that may be limiting in a way too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to plan accordingly and be practical, of course. And you have to make sure you take the steps. You can't just sit here and expect things to fall in your lap.
Well, I know that a lot of the reality stars that they were really into acting, taking the classes. I mean, is that something that you plan to do to take this big personality that you have and be on television? I mean, is acting something that you think about?
Not particularly, honestly. Okay. I don't have a major drive to become an actor.
So when you say reality show, what would be the topic?
So again, you know, this is just very vague thinking.
Sure.
But it could be any range anywhere from just an actual reality show on me, you know, like Robin Big style, Keep It Up with the Kardashian style,
right.
You know, not to compare to them, but you know what I'm saying? It could be something like that, all the way down to, you know, maybe even like a talk show style of a show, you know, like Ellen or something like that. You know, I don't have an exact picture, but I just know like that direction is where I'd like to eventually rise to.
Right.
And as far-fetched as it sounds now, you know, 8 years ago, I was saying I want to be able to live off of YouTube and be on the magazine cover. So
that's
crazy back then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, that's all good. And it explains how you break down this process. I'm curious about your regular life plans. You want to be married? You want to have kids? How soon do you see that happening? I mean, do you think about that kind of stuff?
Think about it a little bit, you know, just kind of play with the ideas. I never try to plan, obviously. But marriage is definitely seeable.
Uh-huh.
Kids, I don't personally want kids myself. Uh-huh. I've just realized that, like, I'm a very selfish person and I don't want to have to take care of these things that cry 24/7, but I'm not keeping a closed mind to it. You know, in 6 years, 10 years, who knows, that my mentality may change and I may want them.
Well, you
so
know,
but as of right now, I don't really want kids. Marriage, I can definitely see though.
Well, the way you're hustling and you're making it big time, hell, you can find a good woman. She can do all the heavy lifting, taking care of the kids while you're out making the money.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I've been in a relationship for the last 2 years. I've known her for 4 years, been in a relationship with 2 years now with my current girlfriend, who you probably saw in that video.
Yeah.
We're pretty serious. So we've talked about that, but both her and I are on the same page, fortunately.
Right.
We're both very, very hungry for our careers and we're hustling. So we both agreed that, you know, we don't want anything in the near future.
Do you love travel? I mean, you love connecting with the fans. I mean, what excites you, about life?
I love connecting with the fans. Meeting my fans, subscribers is one of my favorite things in the world to me. And not to say that every YouTuber doesn't care. I know there's a lot of other YouTubers who also love meeting their fans just as much as I do.
Uh-huh.
But I know there are some that are like, well, just meeting the fans, I have to keep a good image. But I personally, like, I'm excited to meet the people that watch me. And it's inspiring to me. So I love that part. I love traveling, though I will admit I'm getting a little sick of traveling.
Oh, really? Like, tell me where you've traveled and some of your favorite places and some places you want to travel to.
Well, places I want to travel. I want to travel abroad. I actually somehow have not left the country yet. As of right now, because I'm a little burnt out from traveling, I don't mind. Like, I would love to meet everybody over at the FIBO and all that. But I'm at the same time, I'm a little glad I get to kind of be at home now and take a break from being on the planes. But you know, recently I've traveled to so many different states now. I've hit Texas a bunch of times, California at least a dozen times. Florida, a good number of times, and even some of the random states like New Mexico, obviously Ohio for the Arnold Classic, North Carolina, lived in Virginia for a little bit, you know, but yeah, I've traveled around the country a good amount of times and I love it. Always fun. You know, I'm about to go to Florida next, I think at the end of this month.
Uh-huh. Well, a lot of people don't get that opportunity, especially at a young age. So they're living through you vicariously. So as you're taking those trips, realize that people are going, wow, that guy's living the life. You know what I mean? So
I'm very aware of that. Again, I keep a very close grip on where my mind was at back in the day when I was hungry.
Uh-huh.
And that keeps me hungry. And it also makes sure I never take advantage of everything. It helps me enjoy things. But I remember, again, 18 years old, just graduated high school, was not going to college, just working, you know, a 9-to-5 construction type of a job. And I remember dreaming about flying. And once in a while, like once in a blue moon, I would get the opportunity to fly for like a photo shoot or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember wishing like, wow, I want to be at the point where I can travel around all the time.
Yeah.
And then like, I've even thought about, as corny as it may sound, you know, I even thought about being able to travel with, you know, like a good girl by my side.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Best friends with and travel with them. And lo and behold, I'm finally at that point now. Me and Ari travel everywhere together. And it's a blast. You know, it's like traveling with my best friend. And I'm definitely blessed to have the opportunity to do that, because traveling is one of the greatest things you can do. So yeah, keep that in mind all the time. That's why I try to document all my trips on YouTube.
Yeah. No, I tell you, is that there's a lot of young kids, a lot of, I don't know, maybe older people who you're inspiring that, you know, they don't have this type of information. They don't know someone can live a life that you're living, and you're the first one implanting that seed in their head, and now they're on their path to working towards that. So never underestimate that impact that this life that you're living, that people are modeling it, right? So that's awesome. Hey, Nick, I tell you, it was so great doing this podcast with you, and I just wish you the best of luck. I'm going to be excited to watch your future, how it develops. I think people learn a lot of great things just listening to your mindset of how you got to where you are and where you're going in the future. So I really appreciate that speaking for all the people listening. Hey, send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com, skip@skiplacour.com, and I'm going to give you Nick's email address too. Why don't you copy both of us and tell us what you learned. Again, these podcasts aren't about the sets and reps and diet, right? You can get that anywhere. This is about the mindset, the rocket fuel that when you apply it to any sets, reps, training routine, or diet, it'll actually make it work. Nick Wright has given you a lot of success strategies. I want to know which ones resonated with you the best. So
I'm actually very interested to hear that too.
Yeah, so send us emails at skip@skiplacour.com, skip@skiplacour.com, and then nckwright7@gmail.com. NCK, so it's Nick without the I, nckwright7, the number 7, at gmail.com. Yeah, tell us what you got from this. We're going to continue pumping these out. So really enjoy this podcast. It goes along with my podcast with Sean Ray, Lane Norton, Mike Chang, Zach Kahn. Now I got Nick Wright. All right, in my big collection, right? So
awesome.
All right, sir. So again, go to youtube.com/Nick Wright for the YouTube channel, Facebook, facebook.com/Nick Wright Bodybuilding, Nick Wright Bodybuilding. And then his Twitter, which he has 14,000 tweets, is twitter.com/NickWrightNWB. All right. For Nick Wright, I am Skip LaCour. Thanks for listening. Train hard and think big.
This bodybuilding and fitness podcast is brought to you by Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplements and sports nutrition products on the market. Supreme. Clean. Mass Machine Nutrition. Check out the entire line at www.massmachinenutrition.com. Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition is also available at the world's number one online supplement store, bodybuilding.com.